Blog Talk Radio.
June 3rd, 2011, it began. Unscripted. We're just saying what we want. Pop culture is what we talk. And now here we are 2 years later, celebrating the second anniversary of Uncensored Radio.
We're saying what we want. Give it to you, not a stop. Any place, any time. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna stop. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Welcome to the Uncensored Radio 2-Year Anniversary Clip Show, taking a look back at the last 2 years of unscripted and uncensored radio. Over the next hour and a half, you will get to relive fun and random moments, as well as the ups and downs of producing this popular show. If you're a longtime listener, get ready to relive some of your favorite moments. And if you're a new listener, enjoy some of the past moments you've never heard before. No one would have imagined that Uncensored Radio would become a channel hosting other shows and reaching over 100,000 listeners and still growing. That's all thanks to you guys. The listeners, the fans. You have become a huge part of our lives, and we are more and more grateful every day for you guys. Thank you for your continued support. Let's get this thing started. Unscripted Radio welcomed their first musical guest, Monique Moy, back in December of 2011. Take a listen and enjoy her single, Super Good.
Everybody, I am so excited. Today we have a very special guest. It's a very close friend of mine. She's an up-and-coming artist. She has been in the business. She's like me. She's been in the business forever. And it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, you got to just keep pushing. And I am so impressed by her work ethic. I'm so impressed by her. She's a singer. She's a rapper. She is a manager. She is a caterer. She has her own catering company. She's an amazing, amazing
mom. Wow.
Her name is Monique Moy. Yes. And if you don't know, we're going to have all her Facebook stuff, all her Twitter stuff on our website. She's an amazing, amazing artist. Why don't you kick the track and we'll let them hear a little piece of her.
They say that's about me, and I'm super good. I'm super good, super, super, super good.
This day, since the child, we made it, I'm here now. My belt match my back, hat match my shoes. I'm living to be the boss, I'm up on my new do. Remember that? The day they told me I was too wet. Now I roll by slow, in a lag. Well, it's up for you, cause I'm in the back, something bigger than that.
See me take a picture in your city, but the day before, I was in the city, wrapping up a 30 city show. See me where I'm going, set it out. It's just like my sister, I'm getting mo. Had it just a many women, I got plenty, got my city with me, and y'all who know Winnie. So turn my team up, we in first class now. And as we rise up, the rappers crash down. I'm super good, ask about me, I'm living right. Hey, good look at me, we'll probably tell you what the future's like.
Wow.
All right, guys, that was Monique Moy.
In the house.
Yes, that was her song, Super Good. Everybody give it up for Monique Moy. Hey, girl, how are you tonight?
I am swell. How are you, Dalphay?
Oh. We are wonderful. See, I love this girl. She calls me Dollface.
Well, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but honey, I'm doing super good now. That's going to be my new anthem. Okay, I'm going to be getting ready to go. That's going to be jamming in the bathroom.
Exactly. So, this Monique, I call her Mo, so if I refer to her as Mo, I'm so sorry. Her stage name is Monique Moy, and this is Mike, and this is Jeff, and you are on Unscripted Radio. We are so honored to have you.
We really are. Such a pleasure.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. It's so cool because, honestly, I mean, you are our first musical guest that we have ever had on our show. So we are totally,
woo!
Like, very
amazing. Wow, we say the best stuff. We get only the best guest in the world to come on our show. We've had drag queens, we've had Power Rangers, and now we got you.
Right. I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so for all of those people who don't know who you are, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm Monique Moy. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and raised in Chicago, Illinois. And I am a female rapper, obviously. I'm a female. And a singer-songwriter and a whole bunch of other things I got going on.
Yeah. She's she's a phenomenal woman. Let's just leave it at that. Like, amazing person. Talented as all get out. And
Thank you. She said,
she does a lot of, tell them some of the other things you do, because that's the thing that I think people miss. When you're an artist, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do so that you can be able to support your craft. So tell them some of those other things you do.
Well, I also manage, I have a management company called MSM and Associates, and I'm managing a 19-year-old songstress named Emma, and she's a classically trained pianist, amazing vocalist. And so we're gearing
Beyonce,
up to drop
like,
her.
Beyonce ain't got shit
on her. Okay, sorry. Yeah, she's like a Beyonce mixed with Adele, so she's hot. So I'm working with her project, and I'm also a songwriter, so I've been writing on her stuff and trying to get placements. And then I'm a caterer. I have a catering business. Started catering like maybe 4 years ago, made a business out of it, and love to cook, so that's like my pastime. So in between me writing, rapping, singing, I'm cooking.
Right, absolutely.
Where are you
like
from?
You.
Because I need a caterer.
I'm sorry?
What was that, Jeff?
Where are you from? Because I need a caterer.
Oh, I got you. I started my catering business in Minnesota, and now I've relocated to Cali. So I'm in California, trying to do my thing here and get started with the business here and work with a lot of athletes and corporate clients. So it's working out for me.
Yeah, caterer to the stars.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Can you name some of the people you've cooked for? Because I think our listeners would be pretty impressed.
Oh, wow. I've cooked for Boston Celtics, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Baron Davis. I've cooked for Khloe Kardashian, Rashad McCants, David Banner, Ray J., just an extensive list of clients that I've cooked for.
If you want more information on Monique Moy, go to Google and type in Monique Moy, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E-M-O-Y. Also in 2011, Unscripted Radio got a little bit of a surprise. You see, one day, they were talking about The Talk and how Leah Remini and Holly Robinson Pete were being fired from the show, and a very surprised guest decided to call in that night. So here, take a listen to August 2011, Leah Remini.
So I'm going to try, we've got a few other numbers, I'm going to try bringing them on there, but thanks for calling again.
Thank you.
Let's see who this next caller is. 818, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Leah.
Shut the front door.
No.
Who's this?
This is Leah.
Leah,
no
Remini.
Way!
Yes.
Is it really?
Don't you know my man voice?
You,
okay,
honey, you ain't
I
got nobody's man voice.
You're
a dead lie.
What?
From
your
the
fans
top.
Are going nuts in the chat room right now. Can I just tell you, honey?
I know. That's why I'm calling. I have very, very loving and loyal fans on Twitter, and they've been tweeting me, please, Leah, call in. Please, Leah, call in. And so I called in because that's the least I can do for the amount of support and love that we're getting. So
oh
I want to thank the
you
I
know,
wanted
right
to take
now,
the
we
time.
Want to squish your face and bite it.
I
know
cool.
It's your
face.
Bad. I want to bite you.
No, I will take your face and I will squeeze it so hard. So hard and I will kiss you really hard on your mouth.
I have to lay down and call a doctor. It's too much.
Okay, wait a minute. Honey, this is my show, and I'm about to go ass out, okay, because I can't even handle this. Because literally, I mean, Lee, I don't want you to get mad, honey, but I've been kind of stealing your act on The Talk, baby.
That's okay.
You're like,
it's all
getting
good.
Crazy. Like, Sarah. And Mike, I wish he was on right now. He asked out on me because, you know, we only have an hour show every Monday through Friday. And I was like, we're
right.
going to do 2 hours tonight. And then you call
right.
in. So he's going to be pissed when he finds out.
Well, that's what everybody kept tweeting me. Really, I have really great fans. I consider them friends. They're up morning, noon, and night. They're tweeting. They're so loving and so great. And JP from the Leah Remini Guard called, and he tweeted me, and he said, you got to call in. So I'm calling in because I really want to take a moment to really thank all of you. You guys for supporting me and loving me. It's so sweet, and I'm so touched by it. So do
we'll
we take calls?
Show.
What do we do? How do we work our show? Tell me. Tell me what we do. What do we do on our show? What do we do? What are we doing?
Well, we take callers. So everybody in the
Let's
chat room, if you want to call in,
Yes, because they wanted to talk to me.
Let's take our people.
Let's take this 225 caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, honey, you're on the air with Lee. What do you got to say?
This is at the Talk Fans on Twitter, actually.
Oh, honey, hi. Thank you. I'm good, honey. Thank you so much for all the love. Really, really. It means the world to me.
It's been our pleasure because, like I've been tweeting everybody, I mean, you guys make us laugh and smile every single day, so it's the least we can do to help you guys out. Like,
thank you
so
much.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, we're
well,
all glad to do it.
We're
right now. Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry about
thank
that.
You.
That was the CBS helicopters trying to gas me.
Well, we love all of our fans.
Oh, that's not nice.
Listen,
oh,
we love all of our fans. We don't wish anybody bad. What will be,
yeah.
You know. It's really, we got to.
Les Moonves sending out the snipers. Sound like the snipers were flying by.
Yeah,
no, we just have
really
to,
wanted to let everyone know. We really don't want to spread any bad bashing or anything.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
if we're rude to them,
you.
They're not going to give us what we want. So it's best to be polite and just straight to the point without, you know, spreading any negativity.
Honey,
so.
I'm
thank
polite,
you.
But I'm from New York, and the F-bomb is every other word out of my mouth.
I
and this
get,
is my
I
show,
get
and there's
it.
No
I
FCC,
get it. Some
so.
People, you can't just hold them back, and I get that. But for the most
I'm
part, we
want to I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just saying.
I get it.
Okay.
Oh, goodness.
We've
well,
got
well,
Ryan.
Listen.
I'm
sorry,
all
I love
about
you,
good
Leah.
Deeds.
I love you, too.
I'm all
thank
about
you,
good
baby.
Deeds and the golden
bye.
Rule and being good and kind to other people.
Yeah, not only does he steal Leah Remini's act from the talk, he also likes to quote Shirley Q. Liquor a lot. That was from August 2011, if you want to look that show up. It's titled Surprise Guest Leah Remini. It was a really cool show. I listened to it. I listen to a lot of shows to come up with this clip show, and lots of hours, a lot of time, and I finished this the day before it's airing. So y'all are listening to it right now. I just did this yesterday, and it took forever to do, but it was a labor of love for all of you awesome listeners out there. We're going to keep this thing going, though. The next clip happened in September of 2011. You might remember a little bit of a Power Rangers reunion happened right here on this show with Steve Cardenas, Walter Jones, and Nikia Burese. Now, sadly, Steve Cardenas wasn't able to stay for the full show, but he was at the very beginning, and then Walter and Nikia called in later. And this is a clip from that. It's actually one of the longest clips that we have for this show. So, enjoy Power Rangers reunion from September 2011.
Everybody. What's give it up? Up for Steve Cardenas. Yes.
There it is.
There it is. There's the clapping. Now, Steve Cardenas was one of my partners in crime on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He was Rocky the Red Ranger, one of my very good besties. Steve, how are you?
I'm great, KJ. How's it going for you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. We're so happy you're here. In this
yeah,
crazy
thanks for
world.
Having me on.
Absolutely. This is a crazy show, Steve, so I'm just going to warn you. I mean, it's like we don't have any rules. We're unscripted, so, you know.
I'm not scared. Okay, so I guess I would really like to know, you obviously left the series when they did that second movie.
Right.
Was it your choice or theirs?
No, it was my choice. I had another studio that I was running called USA Martial Arts that I was running in the 90s. At the same time that I was doing the show. And the studio was doing really well and taking off. And so, you know, I was kind of faced with a little bit of a dilemma, you know. I had some minor disagreements with the producers of the show and stuff. And so I just decided, you know what, I've kind of taken this as far as I could. And I've got a studio that I'm running right now that's doing well, so it's kind of hard to serve two masters. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and walk. But now in hindsight, you know, I probably should have stayed on for that last season, because at the end of that season they were going to get rid of everyone anyway and recast the whole group. So, you know, I should have just stuck on for one more year. But, you know, whatever, when you're 22 years old, you don't think everything all the way through.
Right?
So, yeah. But it's cool, though. I mean, I had a great time. You know, I had a blast when I was there. And, you know, it was something that, you know, experience that no one will ever be able to take away from me. And, you know, I got to touch a lot of people's lives. And, you know, this has afforded me the opportunity in the venue to kind of reach out to people now and touch their lives in another way by teaching them now.
Where are you and Walter? Have they joined us yet?
Karen, we actually have. Walter is here with us now.
Walter,
hey. What's up?
Welcome
How
to the show.
Thank you very much. How's everybody doing?
Good. Walter Jones, the original Black Ranger, is on the show with us. We are so
That's
happy
right, the to OG,
have you.
Baby.
Walter's an amazing, amazing, amazing actor, but he's also an amazing friend. I know I keep saying this, I said that about Steve, but they are. Like, the crazy thing is Walter and I had never met, and then we met each other at a convention a couple years ago, and he's like the best guy ever.
Nah, thank you so much, man. You are awesome yourself. Just a kind spirited, wonderful person. So
Aww.
It was my pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. What have you been doing, Walter? Walter, I mean, it's like, he is the guy that when we go to the conventions, the fans flip their lid. Like, they literally flip their lid. Like, he's the OG original, so they don't know what to do. Like, they're crying, they're, you know, hugging him, they're kissing him. It's like the crazy, the guys are like about to faint. Like, it's like on a whole other level. The fandom is on a whole other level for Walter.
I saw the one video or whatever where they made him dance, and like, Walter, you went and danced for them, and they were like losing their mind.
Yeah, well, you know, on the show I have my own form of karate, which was hip-hop keto, which included dancing, so everybody's a little hyped to see me go back to the old school and break out some moves.
Yeah. But what they don't know is Walter's actually a professional dancer. Like, he's really a very good dancer. You're an award-winning dancer. Tell them a little bit about that, because I don't think a lot of people know that about you.
Well, in 2004, I became a world champion salsa dancer. I competed at a place called the Mayan Salsa Club in Los Angeles, and it's a world competition, and I kind of blew everybody away. I won by 30 points over the next competitor. Yeah, so it was
oh
pretty amazing.
God.
It was my first competition, and I think I had somewhat of an unfair advantage being somebody that not everybody knew about, and then
mm-hmm.
also just being able to add my physicality to it. So it was cool. It was very cool.
Right. Well, Walter is one of those guys who, like, not only he was popular on the show because, like you said, he had hip-hop keto. He did something different, but he also, like, learned. They used to tell me, the stunt guys told me that you literally, like, learned the karate and learned it. And they said you became very, very, very good at it, like, on set. A lot of us learned it on set, but that didn't mean we got very, very good at it. Like, you actually learned how to fight.
Yeah. Well, I don't really actually study. I'd actually already studied. I was a brown belt at Ishiru Karate, so I studied, but it had been a while. So I had to definitely refine my skills again and working on that show. You know, you get plenty of opportunities to practice and with all the different stuff in. And, you know, it's like I learned all the different kinds of styles, so it was awesome.
I just want to break in here a little bit because we actually have Nakia is on the line with us now as well.
Nakia Parise is in the house.
What's up, Nakia?
Hi. Hi, girlfriend. How are
Hi,
you?
How's everybody doing? I was just sitting listening to everybody. It's like a little telephone reunion.
Right, I know. I'm like texting her at the same time, like giving her the number, making sure she's like, I'm on hold. I'm like, great.
No, I kept calling, and I was like, hello, and I just could hear you guys, so I was like, okay, all right.
I know, we're getting it together over here, girlfriend. I was like, hey, she's like, I called in, but they won't connect.
Can each of you tell us the most crazy thing that has happened to you because of the show, whether it was at one of the conventions, because I went back and watched some of the, like, people that tape it on their phones or whatever, and
right.
some of these people, you know, they really, really, really love the show, and they really love you guys, and they're asking you, like, what your character did in episode 34, scene 6, you know, and I'm just like,
yes.
holy, I thought I had a good match, and I got nothing.
There was a fan who watched Power Rangers, and I saw him. This was actually at one of the conventions. I saw him. He was at Walter's table taking pictures, talking, and all of that, and having a great time. Then he went to Kat's table and was talking, having a great time. And he came over to me, because I guess he had told Kat that he really liked my character. And so he came over to my table, and I was like, hi, how you doing? And he just stood there, and he said, I, and then he ran. I was a little afraid, like, okay, I don't know what just happened, but his reaction, it was, I didn't know if I should be like, oh, wow, he really likes me, or, oh, is he going to go get a machete? I don't know. It was very strange.
That was a cool show. I still really want to get Walter Jones back on, Nikki Abreeze back on. I know she's been on once since then. And we need to get Steve Cardenas back. I think he'd be a fun hour. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to keep this going with another clip from 2012. Jeffrey is a huge fan of this show. It's called Melrose Place, the original. He's a really big fan of that. And he got to have one of his favorite people ever on the show. Miss Josie Bassett. I don't know what character she played because I didn't watch Melrose Place. I was too young for that. So here's the clip from April of 2012. Josie Bassett.
Yay!
Hey everybody, what's going on? Happy Wednesday, happy hump day. I'm excited to be back and excited to take the reins from Jeffrey with doing the intro, because I know he was really nervous last night without me here, but he suffered
through. It was horrible.
He suffered through. But I know he's very excited tonight because, well, I don't know, Jeff, why are you so excited? I'm confused.
Why are you confused?
I'm confused because you're so excited and I don't know why.
I'm excited because Josie Bassett is going to be on with us in just a little bit. You'll all remember her from my favorite nighttime story, Melrose Place. Josie Bassett is here with us right now.
Yay!
Woo-wee!
Can I get some applause?
No, we need like a band, a high school band to play.
We should. The mariachi band.
Exactly.
Josie, welcome to the
Hi,
show.
Josie.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So I know, you know, you being so successful and having this amazing career, and you talked about, you know, having your, you know, being pregnant with your son right before Melrose was over. When was the time that your kids kind of realized that mommy isn't like, you know, mommy has a really cool job?
I think they, you know, as they grew up, they've only known that. I mean, they've only known that since they were babies, but I don't think they really realized what it meant until they,
uh-huh.
you know, someone comes up to me on the street or whatever, you know, says something about Melrose. And at that point I explained what I did for a living. Cause at that point Melrose was over, and that's when I started writing
right.
books, cause I didn't want to go back to work on set. So, I explained to them that, you know, I used to be on a show called Melrose Place, and someday they'll get to see it, but they never have. It's so funny.
It's
so
they know
it exists.
They're still
but,
young, right?
They're actually not that young.
Had?
13, I mean, he could watch it compared to, I mean, even compared
What's
to the
on
content
now?
On Secret Life.
Well,
I mean, Melrose is pretty.
I have
pretty,
to admit, like, I had to sneak as a child and watch the show. Like, I remember watching, like, the very first episode in the summer. My mother had no clue. And then, like, later on, as I got older and it was okay for me to watch, I got
yeah.
her roped into it. Like, it became a family affair. Well, the basic
yeah.
thing, you got moved, and then you came back after you left the show, and they remade it, and you actually came back for a couple episodes. So what was that like?
Oh, yeah. It was great. I was really disappointed when they canceled the show. I thought...
Yeah, I was not happy.
Yeah, I didn't really understand why. I mean, I thought it was just as good as 90210, and if not better. I mean, I only saw, you know, the new 90210 a couple times, but I think it's still on. And
yeah, I think, yeah.
Gosh, I mean, they really, really put a lot of money into it. The sets were absolutely gorgeous. And I really thought the actors were great. That Cassidy girl, what was her name?
Katie
Cassidy.
Yes.
Yeah,
she was
really, really talented and beautiful. And so I was bummed to see that that went off, because that would have been fun to eventually have us all come back on it little bits at a time. But I had a good time. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I got to see Heather and Thomas. That's actually really what I wanted to do. I wanted to see everybody again and just kind of reconnect. It was fun.
Did it feel like a high school reunion?
It did. It was just surreal.
Well, I think that was one of the great things about it as a fan versus 90210. They brought more of the original cast back, and it was really, I felt, more intertwined. And as it got going, it really started to pick up steam. So I was shocked, but I thought the marketing was all wrong. But that's just me.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows why they cancel shows? I think sometimes if they just give shows just a little bit more of a chance.
Right.
You know. But the interesting thing about Melrose, the original, is the first season, the numbers were okay. And, I mean, thank goodness they didn't just let it go. And that's when they brought Heather on, and then, 7 years later. So it's too bad that they weren't able to give it a little bit more of a shot.
I know. It's horrible. I mean, the amount of men that you went through. Sorry,
do you think that you were more scandalous on Melrose Place or on your new show, The Secret Life?
Probably, Melrose. I mean, even though my character was the nice girl of the bunch, mm-hmm. I mean, my character definitely went through, different stages. Remember when I buried Richard alive? And
Yeah, I was.
I love it. Who doesn't do that? That's okay.
Who can say that? God. That's awesome. I know a lot of people love to do that to their significant other.
He was evil.
So, but on really Secret Life, my character was a Christian, and I don't really know. I mean, I guess she's still a Christian, but she's on her third marriage, and but she's a bit really good mom. And the content for the show is more scandalous, I guess, maybe between all the kids. But Melrose was just so like a dramedy. I mean, outlandish in a sense that it was funny, and it would never happen.
Okay. So the next clip happened in, January of this year, 2013. I stupidly mentioned a person that I was talking to on Skype who I had met online, and made the mistake of mentioning it because they started coaxing him to call in, and he did. And I was embarrassed because they read way too much into it, and more than should have been read into it, and it was really embarrassing. But I'm going to go ahead and include it into this clip show because it is one of the funnier moments. So definitely enjoy my friend Chad calling into the show for the first time.
It could be a shit story.
It could be anything.
But it could be something embarrassing, in your relationships, like maybe you queefed in a guy's puss or something,
Queefed in a guy's puss. That makes you know that.
Who is it?
I can't believe he actually did it, but Chad just called in.
Chaddy boy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Edmonton, Alberta.
Alberta, okay.
Yep.
So, question number one, how many tablespoons are you?
If you're going to go quarters, as you guys were talking about earlier, I'd probably say about 8.
Hey, girl, hey.
Walla walla bang bang. You're a keeper. I'm sold. I really don't have much else to say.
That's it.
So when are you guys gonna
going to meet, or is this going to just be like a Skype thing?
2014, I plan on coming down, and we're going skydiving.
Wow.
We need to What's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh.
James,
what
are you?
James?
I'm a Cancer. Sorry,
Cancer and Taurus. Uh-oh, y'all are both kind of stubborn.
I'm going to have to wait. Let me go get my love book. I got one of them books that compares the signs. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Really?
Well, I'm just saying. These are things you should know.
Right. How compatible are Taurus and Cancer? It's very important, James.
Oh, my God. First friend. Hey.
Let's
tell you one thing, but personality tells you another thing.
I agree. Now, I'll say this. You're friends, but of course, you know, like friends, or you got to see how compatible your friendship is, because if the friendship can grow, then maybe it'll blossom into something else.
I'm looking it up right now.
Dual citizens, okay?
Good news. Taurus and Cancer is a great match, often with soulmate potential. This is a type of relationship which has the potential to make other couples jealous. Your Taurus and Cancer compatibility is high, Taurus and Cancer sexual chemistry is high, and Taurus and Cancer communication is high.
Oh, God. So I know we've asked all the juicy questions. I'm going to ask a boring question. Chad, what do you do in your life in Alberta?
Right now, I am a nurse. I work at an old folks home, and I'm going to school full time to become a pharmacist tech.
Oh,
ambitious young man. Very nice.
And he's compassionate. Mm-hmm. He works with the elderly. I like you. Okay. But you're really close to Vancouver, right? Because I've got a best friend who lives in Vancouver, and I think her mom lives in Alberta.
Yeah, it's like an hour flight from Edmonton to Vancouver.
Right, and it's only like a 3-hour flight from L.A., hint, hint, James. You can meet halfway. You can meet in Seattle or Portland. I've got a friend in Portland, too.
We could always just meet in Vancouver, buy some sexy beach or something like that, and have some hot time.
Wow.
Hey, girl, hi.
Awesome. Well, it's been so much fun talking to you, and you know, James will keep us posted on how this is going, and you're more than welcome to call into the show anytime. You can give us an update as well.
James,
you have absolutely no idea how red my face is right now at all.
This was so much better than watching Dallas. I just can't.
And we're way worse than parents. We're like the creepy ass uncle who's inappropriate.
Oh my God. Okay, so the heat in my face right now is like burning my eyebrows off. Like it is that. Oh my God. I am so freaking red.
It's
okay. You look good with no eyebrows.
And she would know what I look like without eyebrows. She's seen the pictures. Not going to go into that story, though. That's a long story that just, needs no real explanation. Anyways, we're going to go into a little bit of a montage right now. No one would have imagined that Uncensored Radio would become what it is, and it would have, you know, on top of Guilty Pleasures, 5 other shows. You know, there's The Schmooze, there's Title Pending, Ask Mama, No Rules, Just Mics, and my show, Lips on the Air, every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central. Except for tonight. We're not doing Lips on the Air tonight. Jeannie and Jasmine are both very sad about that. they both needed a Friday night off anyways. It's okay. So enjoy this little Uncensored Radio montage.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the pilot for No Rules, Just Mics.
You are tuning in to the first ever live show of Unscripted Radio's Chick Chat. Well, we here at Uncensored Radio believe in moving onward and upward, always, and Chick Chat has now been changed to, drumroll please, The Schmooze.
This is Title Pending. This is the first episode, and you're listening to the first of Lips on the Air. Woo!
No rules, just mics.
the reason behind it. I find, you know, there shouldn't be any blame. People are people, you know, whether you're black, white, purple with green polka dots, if you're gay, straight, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, if you're, you know, if whatever it is you are, whoever it is you want to live your life, you know, I don't think there should be any kind of bullying across the board. But I think it's amazing how we have these groups in place and how we have these rallies and these spirit days that bring this stuff to life, because I think a lot of young kids, especially who are in high school and you know, even the younger generation, they're being picked on just for being different. And I think it's good to let them know that they're not the only one. There is a voice out there that is listening. There are people out there that care. There are people out there that love you. And that you're not the only one. So I think it's amazing how these organizations have come to place. But bullying has really kind of become this big epidemic.
Chick chat.
Bias as well. Like I agree with Angelique. Like, it all depends on your relationship, how far along, you know, down the line you are in your relationship too.
Yeah.
What's me? And
your friends have known you for umpteen years.
If I was married and it was a long-term relationship, we have a mutual respect, a mutual communication, and it's already, you know, you're going to get used to each other, and we've tried all the different stops and tricks that we've already tried, and he's wanting something like that, it would definitely have to be a lot of talk within it, and then, of course, rules and regulations within that. Now, right. I'm not sitting back saying I'm going to, you know, indulge in and be a full-fledged lesbian, but, you know, if there's something he wants to indulge in, then, you know,
now that's the question. Right. If you guys are interested in threesomes, are you just letting him get on with two girls, or are you guys involved with the other girl, too?
First of all, we have to talk about that, because I'm, like I said, there's certain things that I know that I wouldn't want to do or be into, and, you know, he would have to be aware of that and okay with that, and then vice versa. So it would definitely just have to be an open communication as far as what his desires and likes are and what mine are and where we clash and where we, you know, get along with it. So if we can come to a mutual agreement, then hey, you know, I'm all open to pleasing my man in that way. But that is when we obviously have no other glitches or issues in our relationship. We have an open communication, respect for each other, and we know that nothing can break our bond. But if we're already rocky and we have issues within our own intimacies, then no, I wouldn't be open to that.
Title pending.
I definitely respect that about girls, though, because it's kind of cool that we segued from me moving back home after all this time to kind of familiar faces from high school. And I got to say, one of the things I dread the most about being home, and one of the things I love about being down here, is that I don't have to go through those awkward small talk situations with people that I don't actually really like and really wasn't friends with, but I do know who they are because I went to school with them my whole life. So that's definitely something that sucks. Like, you just go to Walmart, and I almost want to wear like a Halloween costume there so that I don't have to bump into, like, you know, fourth grade teachers and things like that. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely
terrible. I hate it.
Well, I've been taking this female-male communication class for school, and the teacher had a good point. She said females' relationships are more intense and they're a lot closer, but guys are more long-lasting. And I thought about it, and I was actually talking to Ben about this in the car. I said, think about our friends from 7th to 8th grade. There might have been, like, one addition or one subtraction, but you've been pretty close with the same kids for that amount of time. Now, look at the girls who are best friends in middle school, and they either hate each other or have no contact with each other whatsoever. And I think it's because girls' relationships are so intense, and you're together all the time, where guys, it's just, you're not really talking to each other 24/7 text, and you're not telling each other all your emotional problems. And, Ben, since I mentioned you and that, I'm going to let you hit off on that. You tell me your thoughts on the whole college, high school relationships and how they change. I mean, I guess we're the exception because I've been friends with you since I was 4.
Well, and do you remember how that started?
Our friendship?
Yeah.
Or our conversation? Or is that how our friendship started, with that conversation at 4 years old?
That was it, yeah. No. We only, you know, our friendship just started with that conversation in the car. I really hated you the past 16 years. No. But what I meant was, anyway, we met in preschool, and you pushed me off the fucking slide at the YMCA, man. Never forget that. So, you know, what a friend. But anyway, speaking to, you know, additions of friends and, you know, how friendships evolved from high school, even from middle school to high school to college, I noticed that, first of all, like, between school with my specific group of friends, it was always like, you know, it was like we all lived so close together if you look at the, like, you know, the Wendy Circle area. And I don't think that's necessarily a coincidence. I feel like maybe, I feel like a lot of the girls made friends via school where the guys just made friends as in, like, who was around them. But it's, you know, it was perspective for me, because it's like staying home, it's like you see everyone that's going away to school and whatnot, and it's like, you know, you'll always be the one that when they come back, it's like they'll hit you up, which is cool. But at the same time, it's just like, well, you know, like I'm still here and they're out doing their thing, I guess. But I mean, it's for me, you know, all the people I was close with in high school and my really close groups of friends, I'm still really close with, you know. We could go for 3 months without seeing each other, and then, like you said, you say the one thing, and then it's just you're right back where you were.
The smooth.
Like, yeah. Okay. So the latest thing, she had a eating disorder supposedly, so that's why she has a hard time with her weight. She tweeted, and then did you just see the article about her going to her gymnastics class?
Yeah, she went in like fishnets and a leotard or something like that and heels.
And she had a meltdown because when they were trying to do, like, some rolls on the mat, she just went off and did a cartwheel, and her black wig fell off, and she melted down and broke down crying, and they had to escort her out.
Well, I don't know if anybody follows her on Twitter, but I do because, well, it's entertainment. And I don't know if most of our listeners listen to the Jake Tetlin Show on Saturdays, but Jen has been tweeting Amanda Bynes like crazy for, like, the last 3 days. And, you know, and so is Perez Hilton saying that, you know, she was kicked out of gymnastics class, and now she's saying that she's going to sue all of the media outlets because she did not get kicked out of gymnastics. Like, who cares, really? You have to put that on Twitter? Like, who gives a fuck? I'm reading. Okay, hold on. Let me read to you exactly what her fucking post said. It says, "I'm suing every blog saying I was kicked out of gymnastics. What is wrong with you people? ? What would you do if you found fake stories about you? All I'm saying is, yeah. Fake? Not so much. But,
Lips on the air.
You know, at $50 million, no matter what the contract was, you know, I know I'm smart enough to know that I'd pick up a can of Pepsi and look like Beyonce. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know,
right,
with makeup and things like that. I mean, she had an amazing endorsement a while back with a makeup company, and it was just unbelievable that they pay that much money to have her face on a product. Is the ad agency,
well, what I think
like
funny,
that?
And I think it's funny. She had an endorsement deal with L'Oreal, hair color, and the girl wears wigs.
Yeah. And she's made,
like,
it very
well
known.
She wears a wig, and she wears weaves, and it's like, and you think, I can't think that she honestly believes nobody knows that she wears weaves. Like,
well, she's
sorry,
she's
nobody
talked
has
about it.
Hair that perfect.
And she's talked about extensions and how it's easier
oh,
in the
yeah.
shows for her to flip a wig on than to sit and have all that redone. So I mean, that's kind of like a catch 22 on there. I mean, what if we're gonna find out she doesn't even like Pepsi? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's crazy that in the media that it's that important to have somebody like that to endorse your product
right.
when your product doesn't sell
right.
itself.
It's
in the business.
Well,
looking at
it, I mean, like,
looking at it from the business point of view, it's like I understand why we have to have marketing and why that stuff is important and ads and so on, but it's just $50 million. You know, there we've got on the same page,
right.
I was looking at another thing where it was talking about how the government and the deficiencies and all the money that the government's trying to cut budgets, you know, to compensate for the money that our country doesn't have. And I'm thinking, ah, Pepsi, we got $50 million.
Right.
right, to give to one person.
Ask Beyonce. Hello.
You
like,
know?
Beyonce,
hey.
Can you float us a couple million dollars?
You know,
right. Ask Oprah. She's worth billions. She's worth billions.
Yeah.
You know, ask Oprah.
And with that, it's time for a word from our sponsors. Word. In fact, we actually don't have any sponsors. But if you'd like to be a sponsor of Uncensored Radio, or you have a company, a small business, or a product that you're wanting to promote, promote with Uncensored Radio. We have tons of packages available at affordable prices. Just email us at uncensoredradio@AOL.com for more information. And with that, we're going to keep this thing going. You know, I don't. It's weird to think that there's seven shows on Uncensored Radio, and it's all because of you guys. You guys have continued to show your support to us and support everything that we do, and we love you guys so much. Y'all are amazing. But we're going to keep this going, keep it moving. The next clip comes from June 2011, and it is by far my favorite clip out of them all. Okay. I'll let it speak for itself. Here you go.
No, let's just say Pretty Woman was a whole... It brings a whole new woman meaning to Pretty Woman. And, okay, I will tell you this. The day this video in question that everybody keeps bringing up, you sons of bitches, was the day that the Oklahoma City bombing happened. Okay, I didn't mean for that much silence, but as we were taping this thing, why is there a cat in my house? Oh, my God! What the hell? Where the fuck did that come from?
And this is why it's called Unscripted Radio.
Dude, I'm just sitting here trying to do a radio show and a fucking cat just hauls ass through my house and it's like, meow! And it's like, moves and it's mine, and then it ran back towards the door. What the fuck? Oh, I thought it was a raccoon at first.
I think it's Valium.
I knew you were gay. I didn't realize that you were that. Can we take that clip and play it over and over tomorrow?
Animal just runs through your house?
Sonia,
it just came out of nowhere. I don't have no cats or no dogs, no nothing in the house. There's no pet rocks, nothing. I'm just chilling here on the couch and shit runs by me. It's not natural.
Lesbian lost their pussy.
Oh my God, I love that clip so much, and I have no idea why. I think it's just because it's so just get, blah, 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 blah. I'm getting tongue-tied. I think it's because it's just so random and it's hilarious, but we're going to keep it going. We're going to move on. The next clip comes from August of 2011. Miss Karen Ashley, before she became a host, she was a guest on the show. And this is a little clip from when she first appeared on Unscripted Radio.
Well, I want everybody to know that's just tuning in. We have Karen Ashley on with us tonight. You remember her from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and she's got this new show in the works called Grown Ups, and it sounds great. Without further ado, let's bring on Karen, shall we? Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hello.
Welcome to Unscripted.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the show. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Besides, well, now that Mike's got power.
Yeah.
I know. I know. How are you?
Crazy. I'm to be perfectly honest, I'm a little exhausted because, like,
aww.
I, you know, but are you on the West Coast, Karen, or whereabouts?
I am. I'm in
LA. West Coast. Gotcha. So you guys, what, maybe got a little bit of rain, if anything, from Irene?
Nothing. It's been like a heat wave here. We didn't get anything. So I send my love to you and everyone on the East Coast because it's probably been so difficult. And I just send my love.
Okay, my brothers were so mad at you guys. Okay, I have to stick up for them now.
Everyone was initially. They were like, where is Walter? Where's Twee? Where are they? You know?
Like, it was because my mother had gotten them, like, the Power Rangers Christmas thing, and it didn't even make sense because, like, there was, the pink, blue, and the green guy, and, like, the other three were off on some summit thing, and you guys were, like, in the viewing globe, and you were like, Merry Christmas, hi. And we're like, okay, but by the time they get on the show, he's already the white. Like, and I just remember my brother, like, flipping out. Like, who are these people?
Yeah,
and then everybody
grew
to love you guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know what, that's the beauty of it, is that we had such great fans that they accepted us. And I mean, the show was a hit, so it wasn't like they needed to accept us. You know, they could have really... You know, but luckily, you know, when they cast us, they didn't cast anyone who was similar to the person they were replacing. So it was like, you got a whole new thing. And we got, you know, people who would relate to me may not have related to, you know, to tweet, or it was just whatever. I mean, it was just one of those great things that they didn't try to make me be her, or, you know, it was just one of those things that they knew better.
I mean,
but
for
yeah,
that
no,
being like your first
tons of people
thing.
Were like, what the heck is this?
You
know, the funny story though is, yeah.
What was the audition like? Like did you for the show? Like, was it a simple like, you know, script read, or did they have you like jumping off of stuff?
No, you know what the audition was like is like we literally walked into a room and there was like it was like almost like an assembly line because there were so many people. And the first question they asked you were, are you over 18 or are you emancipated? And you were like, I was like, yeah. Like, I didn't even know what emancipated meant.
Sure, whatever you guys
do. Right, yeah, what am I going to do to get on this show? But you know, it's funny, I didn't even know what the show was. I didn't even know what it was. A friend of mine had told me about it, and she said, it's a kid's show. You have to either be a dancer, a gymnast, or a martial artist, and you could do it. And so I'd never seen the show. So then we get there, and you literally had 30 seconds, and there was, like, three lines that you had to say. And it was, like, I don't even remember what it was, but it was, like, I remember it was talking about shopping and being with my friends. And so you kind of had to deliver the line and, you know, kind of do your thing. And then, you know, the casting director was, like, okay, so what are you going to do today? And I was, like, I'm going to dance. And she goes, okay, dance. And I go, well, I brought music. And she goes, we don't have a radio. And I was just, like... Okay, and so it was like, hit it. And so I just had to break it down right then and there. No music, nothing. And I was just like, what the heck, you know? Because I'd been on some auditions, and I thought, well, they'll have music, or I can play my music or something, you know? And I just busted out a couple moves. And then she looked at me, and she was like, can you come back in like 3 hours? And I was like, yeah. And so I had a call back.
Awesome.
And so then when we... Yeah, so the thousands were whittled down to like 100. There's still a ton of people there. We were all in a room and we had to wait for hours. And then I remember seeing Johnny and I remember seeing Steve. We were all at the same audition. And they called us in, and this time she had a jam box. And so I got to put music on and we did it again. It was like for camera, we did it. They videotaped us and then I got to dance. And so this time I put my music on, got to dance. And that was it. I walked out, and I thought, you know, I just didn't think I would get it. I just was like, wow, you know, that was crazy. Like, you literally had 30 seconds. That's all you got to. I remember 2 days later, I got a phone call. It was like at, like, 7 in the morning. It was really early, and it was the casting director, and she goes, you know, can you fly out tomorrow morning to meet the producers? And I was just, like, screaming. It was like, absolutely.
That's crazy. I could not imagine getting, like, a phone call at 7 a.m. or something. Just being like, so how about you just fly out to L.A. and we want to chat?
And who would have thought that after she joined the show, this clip would have happened?
That's it. Well, you know, I got a 704 area code, which I know is not anywhere near upstate New York, I hope to God. Let's make it a Power Ranger question. 704, what's your name and where are you going?
Julie and Becky, the bitch is from New York.
Oh?
What?
It's Julie and Becky, your future sisters-in-law. The ones who are going to get bitch slapped. Bring it, bitch.
Oh, wow. My
people
are going to take 30 more phone calls.
I think it's the fucking line, you cunt.
Whoa, hey now.
Wow.
Right.
Trust me, girlfriend. I'm going to have worse than the cut.
No.
There's nothing wrong with it. You can be mad all you want. Take responsibility. You already were dressed 2 weeks ago.
That's a dress issue. I'm quite as long as I'm going to hold that. Both studying, that's about a year, so.
Yeah. Take responsibility. Because
if
you're
fine,
you'd be fine in the corner. If you're a reality and somebody's trying to, like, wear something out the box, oh, I'm not going to wear the dress because I didn't order it in time, you would be crying in the corner.
No.
So take responsibility. Brother, it's about respecting what the bridal party is wearing. You can support your brother and stand there and smile and clap and cry. You can still support your brother. Show up and be supportive. That has nothing
Karen,
to do with supporting your brother.
Yeah, Karen, we're We're done with this.
That was terrible. There will be no more calls tonight.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, we're just. I'm sorry for you folks who wanted to call in.
Not happening anymore today. No one is going to call any of these hosts a bitch unless it's me and it's warranted. So
yeah. No more calls tonight, guys. I'm sorry. Shit.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure I even heard all of the words that were just said, but
I heard a few "see you next Tuesday" words in there. That was kind of fresh.
I thought that's what I heard. Yeah.
I'm going to be there. Come to LA and kick my ass. Come on, bring it. I'm ready.
I still want Karen to teach me that Power Ranger pimp slap. She needs to teach me that. I did have permission to use that clip. It's from a show that happened before July 14th, 2012. I don't remember the exact show, but it was a very interesting show that had a very stunning twist. Right before Jeffrey's wedding, and him and Joe are married, and they're living happily ever after, and I couldn't be happier for him. So yeah, some of the clips you're going to hear tonight were also featured in the year-end retrospect that we did for 2012 into 2013. So I hope you guys, if you didn't listen to that, then yeah, this is a new clip for you. If you did, you're going to hear something else later from there as well. I did plan this out, very kind of half-assed. I have a list that I'm just crossing stuff off as I do it. And the next clip we're going to do is from when Catherine Sutherland first called in. And let me see if I can tell you what date that was. September of 2012. It's about as good as it gets. this is the when Catherine Sutherland called in and she dropped an F-bomb.
Catching up on the week. We can do that once she is gone. Miss Catherine Sutherland is on the show. We have been waiting for this moment for like a whole week, ever since we announced it. Theme song. Oh, my God.
Oh,
no. Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I swear I did not even know he was going to play that damn song.
I am really all shades of red right now.
That up since day one. The minute I found out about that song, I have been saving that for you to come on, Catherine.
We had to go into a recording studio to sing that.
Yes.
I'll just have you know, it was a big production.
Oh my God, yes. So for those of you who don't know, Miss Catherine Sutherland is in the house.
I had a male stunt double, and he had to strap his little meat up so that it so he couldn't hang out for all the scared. So.
Holy shit.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God. I'm a bad injured. They had to, like, tape their meat down because it would be, like, they would get letters from the network saying, we can see the
testicle. Lord, I did the at the Morphicon. They had like an over 18s. I think you were supposed to do it, Karen, but you couldn't come. You were working or something. But they had. I was the only girl at that. So thanks for abandoning me.
I was pissed. I wanted to
those
go.
Those boys went crazy, and I'm just sitting there going, "Oh no!" And then the fans wanted to hear me cuss, and I don't cuss. It's just not part of my my vocabulary. So I said. Am I allowed to say it on you guys? Am I allowed to use
the
word?
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
I said fuck, and they all were all like so excited that I said fuck. That's what you wanted to hear me say.
I'm having a little hot flash over here. I can't believe we just got Catherine. Oh, it's fabulous. And what's even better, in the chat room they just informed me that show that may or may not be filming in Canada with that ex-Power Ranger got canceled.
Yeah. Got canceled.
Did it really?
Yes. Oh. Aww. See what happens to you, asshole?
That's somebody's livelihood. I don't wish that on anybody.
Don't be mean.
I'm the devil. It's okay. They think I'm just a bad guy, but really behind this, I'm a sweet, sensitive guy. But they make me be this jerk. It's horrible. Karen's such a slave driver, Catherine. You just don't know.
It's like when you tell your child that they're bad and then they turn into a bad kid. That's kind of what they're doing to you.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling.
Don't let him feed you that. He was horrible when we met him.
It's just grown in him.
It's live.
He's also the person who said my Power Ranger baby is Blake Foster. So don't believe anything he said.
And then in October, she called in again.
Hello. I have a special birthday call for Jeffrey. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Angel Cry Girls. I love you. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. That is Kirsten Sutherland on the line. Wow.
It
went much better in my rehearsal. You know, the guy who James answered the phone, and I serenaded him, and he was like, "That was really great, but you're not on air." And I went, "Oh man, what a waste!"
It was much better for him, actually.
It was nice.
It was amazing.
So Jeffrey, it's your favorite Pink Ranger on the phone. What are you?
I was just gonna say that it's my favorite Pink Ranger, not that fat one.
You are so sweet. What did you do on your birthday? And her name is Kat on the show. That's kind of amazing.
Obviously. Hi, Kat. Hello, love. How are you?
Good, love. How are you?
Fabulous. Just enjoying the perks of Jeffrey's birthday. Love the song. I'm picturing you dancing right now in pink spandex, and I'm happy all over.
I wish I was in pink feathers. I'm actually making pumpkin bread and cooking dinner for my family. So exciting.
Oh, girl, you can spend some of that with Karen when she comes up here on Thursday. I wouldn't mind for some pumpkin bread. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Pumpkin pie.
Well, I'm dying to know. Okay, look, I'm going to put you on the spot. Girl, when are you coming back to guest co-host with us? You were amazing.
I know. Oh, you're so sweet. I was going to try and come when Karen was out of town, but I just couldn't make it work. But I would love to. I just need to get my life together so I can schedule it in.
Baby girl, I hear you.
November. November, she's going to have a little bit of a break. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. I would love to. I definitely would love to. You guys are so fun. You bring out my raunchy side, the raunchy kitty.
I have to tell you, after we did that show, I was like calling Karen, giggling like a little bit of a schoolgirl, like, I can't believe she said the F word.
Yeah, you know, that is like one of the highest rated shows we've had, not like hands down. Like you are
really?
It's true. You beat out all the other Power Rangers we've had on the show.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And we have your on-screen TV boyfriend, and you beat him.
Really? You beat Jason David Frank's show.
Are
you
out of here? You're lying.
I'm not lying. Your ratings, your on-demand, people who listen live and people who listen on-demand, your numbers are higher than his show.
Oh, that is so nice. Well, you know, you're the most popular cat. You're the most of everyone.
And, girl, I'm still waiting for my Facebook message about that little business deal you got going on because I watched that video. I'm trying to get rich.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'll resend it to you. I had a few people, fans, sign up, actually, which surprised me. I even had one guy in England sign up. I was like, really? It was kind of surprised. But,
girl, I messaged you, and you're like, I'll get to you in a few days. I've been holding my breath for like a month and a half now.
Oh, honey, we got to get you rich, especially on your birthday.
I know. Girl, I need some cash flow. Shoot.
Me too. And if you like shopping, that's all you really have to do is shop.
Honey, I love to shop.
Oh, me too.
That's a problem, though. Really, truly. I like to spend more than comes in.
Imagine if you could shop and get money back. That's a good deal, right?
It
is amazing.
That's why I'm doing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. That's what's up.
I will send it to you. But I'm going to go and feed my family now. But have a beautiful birthday.
Thank you.
And I hope all your dreams come true. You're the best, Catherine. Love you.
Thank you, Catherine.
I love you too.
So lovely. We love you.
Yes, Catherine Sutherland serenaded me before she was on air. It was funny, too, because I was trying to tell her as she was singing that she wasn't on air yet, but she didn't hear me. So it's okay. It was nice. It was really sweet. And I'm glad that she called back in. She recently co-hosted an hour with us back in March, I believe. Yes, it was March. It was after the Lexington Comic and Toy Con that we were all at. And had a blast out, by the way. I got to meet JDF. I was so excited. So we're gonna continue with another clip. This one's from December 2011, and it was when Angelique Bates called in and guest co-hosted Unscripted Radio with Mike and Jeffrey. And here it is. I hope you enjoy it.
Angelique Bates is here, everyone.
Woo-hoo!
What'd you do? Tie the people up? I can't even get some applause.
Jeepers. I'm working on it. They're, you know, they're... Oh, wait.
I'm out of control! Well,
wait. That's Regis. Well, that's Latin.
No.
This is what happens when we let Jeff run the studio.
Angelique Bates, welcome to the show.
Woo! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Okay. 10 minutes later, but we got it. See, this is why you can't leave me to run switchboards and things, because I'm just, no, half the time when we're doing shows, I'm not even near it. Like, I walk away because it just frustrates me.
Oh, Lord.
So, Angelique, what has been going on, Chickie?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've been on a complete, eating chocolate just like all week. I don't know what's going on. I think it has something to do with the show.
It could be.
You know, because, you know, the world needs chocolates. I've had Snickers, I had my little chocolate bars, and I went and got, because, you know, oh, my gosh, Oreos, they have the Christmas special. Yes, the Christmas edition with the chocolate, and it has, like, the red cream and everything. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
In my early 20s, yes, I think all of us kind of go through that phase, though. Because it's like, okay, I'm 21, or, you know, I can drink, I can go partying or whatever. Taking shots. You know, it's funny that you just mentioned the rehab thing, because I'm looking at the shot glass that says rehab is for quitters.
That's what my shirt said.
That's what my shot glass says.
Now, were you like me? I was horrible. I was drinking way before I was 21.
Yes. Yeah. I was.
So when you got to me, like when I got 21, it wasn't even actually that much fun anymore. Because at the time, I was already working in a nightclub going out drinking anyway, so it's like, okay, that's not really a big deal.
Right. Yeah, see, well, actually, when I hit 18 is really when I started drinking, because, you know, I was still off the show, I was still with my mom, so it was kind of hard to, like, go party and everything with my mom. But once I hit 18, you know, I was in college because I graduated early. So, you know, you have the college parties, everyone's drinking and all that. So by the time I hit 21, I was kind of, like, burnt out, to be quite honest. It was like, okay, I've already did all of that. So I would say probably by 24, maybe, without aging myself, by 24, I was kind of on the wine tip, you know. So,
Nice.
Yeah, but then I had to be careful of that, because then you don't want to be a wino.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, then I had my kids.
Well, Angelique, you got any bad stories about when you guys were on the show and drinking? Did you guys get into a little liquor?
I know I didn't. My mother was there with me 24/7. That was like my
permission. Oh, she would not have it.
Right. So as far as anybody else, I know everyone else's parents was mostly there, but as far as me, I was almost a teen blacked out.
So. All right, what about that bad girl Katrina? I bet you she was the wild one. What was she like?
I know they weren't letting her breathe at all. She was younger. But the age, I remember she was in the age, I was really liquor in it. So... But we were definitely always in trouble. She was the prankster.
And we definitely had sugar binges, like the soda. We would raid the snack table because there was always candy on there. They would come back and be like, what is all this candy? Because we love Jolly Ranchers. So we would be in her dressing room with, like, bags full of Jolly Ranchers and everything. It used to be funny.
Oh, wow. Maybe that's had, where like, I would... See, I would be in trouble with craft service with all, like, the food and stuff that is spread out.
Oh, my
I would
God,
be
over I'd be 500 pounds.
I would be snacking all day.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's, I mean, what is it? It's not like it's real, like, healthy for you food, right? I mean, what is it, like, usually, like, chips and bits, maybe a veggie platter, but, you know.
Right.
I'd be eating
well, how would you know? You ain't never met an actor. Why don't you ask Angelique what the hell was that craft service food?
Well, it depends
you ain't right.
on certain That's hilarious. Well, some of the shows, it depends. Like, for Nickelodeon, they were, like, just trying to pump us full of sugar, I think, just to keep you hyper. So, like,
right.
second or third season, I think, well, I was there until, like, the second season, but I heard, like, third season, especially when we went back for the reunion, like, they had, like, vegetables and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, we didn't have this when we were on set. Like, they were just, like, pumping us with crackers, cookies, like the chocolate chip granola bars. We have Mountain Dew, 7-Up, you know?
Oh,
so,
wow.
So cheese puffs.
Now, I'll admit, I started drinking before I was 21. Had a little incident with my friend Stephanie. We had tequila, Bacardi, and something else. I don't remember what else, but some stuff happened. And yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. But you guys know, if you listen to the radio show, you know how much of a lightweight I am because I don't drink all that much. So yeah. Anyways, the next clip we're going to do was featured in the Uncensored Radio Year-End Retrospect, end of 2012-2013, and this incredible year that we've been in so far, where we reached 100,000 listeners, and it's so exciting. But this next clip is not a very happy one. It's involving Karen Ashley and Michael Fishman, and an argument that started the day before the election back in November. Which resulted in Michael Fishman's swift departure.
You know what? I stick to that, and I will stick to that all day, every day. I will stick to that. And we'll just have
the
to agree to disagree.
The world is not as racist and classist as it was
it is.
50 years
it
ago.
It really is.
If you think
if
that
we
people
think,
are just
if you
the same
think
as they
racism
were 50
years
ago, I'm sorry for you.
It was only 100 years ago that we had slaves. It was only 100
years
alive. Ago that there were slaves.
Of course
so
it's
you
alive.
Say
so you're going to live your life based
happen.
On the ignorance of a couple people?
You cannot tell me. I'm living my life for what I know and what I see, and I'm a very smart and intelligent woman, and I can decide for myself. I'm not going to be influenced by anyone.
You're saying that it's just as big an issue as it was 50 years ago. That's what you just said.
Absolutely it is. When you live your life as a woman of color, yes, it is. Point blank,
50 years
period.
Ago,
and
our
until
president,
that
president.
Day, until that day that you can walk in my shoes as an African-American, Mexican, until that day, it is. You cannot sit here and tell me that it's not.
50 years ago, Barack Obama would not have won the presidency.
You know what? You're
and now you're
right.
going to tell me that it's
mean,
the same as it
that
was
does
50
not
years
mean,
ago.
That does not mean that racism is dead and gone. No.
I didn't
that
say
is
it was
not
dead and gone. That's
even,
not the conversation.
Even during the
what
campaign,
said
even
the
during
same.
Like,
you
even
said
during
the
election, he's been
ago.
Disrespected in so many different ways. No other sitting president would have had to deal with half the shit that he's had to deal with.
And
you and can't
he's made
sit here
inappropriate
and tell me
racial
that it's different. What was that?
I said, and he's made some inappropriate racial statements. It's,
you know, and like I said,
called,
racism is alive and well, whether it be from a black person or whether it be from a white person. You can't sit here and say that it's not alive and well. It is. It
hey,
is.
Hey, don't forget us.
And
today,
it's only been 100 years. So that means someone who's 100 years old lived during slavery. That influence is still on this earth. We're the children. I'm a
African American.
I'm probably second generation slave. So
okay,
it is what it is. My great-grandmother used to pick cotton. What was that?
I said if African-Americans were their own country, they would be the 13th wealthiest country in the world. To say that racism is the same as it was 50 years ago is the most offensive statement I think I've ever heard in my life.
And I'm sorry you feel that way, but it is. It's true. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And I don't have to sugarcoat or lie or even exaggerate on that. That is absolutely true. And until you walk in the, until you walk,
well, hey, I'm a fucking second class citizen. Just because I suck dick, I got to pay 50% taxes on my husband's fucking, our property together? What the fuck? How is it not racism, bigotry?
Racist.
It's still here. Okay, maybe it's not racist.
You can't recognize his struggle and not recognize the struggle that's been here for more than 100 years.
I'm making the same case to both. I will acknowledge that, yes, bigotry will probably always exist on some level because there are people who are bigots. But to say that it's the same as it was 50 years ago, 50 years ago, no one was able to get married.
I didn't say it was the same as 50 years ago. I said it's still alive and well.
Play this case, you
it's still alive and well.
If I asked you four
it's
times.
It's still alive and well, Fishy. It's still alive and well. Trust me. This is the thing. Just a week ago, my boyfriend decided to go to the grocery store, minding his business. This is a guy who's never been in trouble a day in his life. This is a guy who's got a college education. Why did he get pulled over and harassed by a cop? He didn't get pulled. He wasn't speeding. We have insurance. We've got a Mercedes. It's not like there was anything. He got pulled over. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing he could have done that would have warranted for him to get pulled over and questioned for half an hour. He got pulled over because he's a black man driving in a car they didn't feel like he deserved. So this is the thing. You cannot. This happens. Why is it that when I go to Neiman Marcus or if I go to, let's just say I go to Macy's, why is it that people follow me around and they're like, do you need help? Do you need something? And they're not being attentive. They're just making sure I'm not stealing.
Yeah, that was an interesting hour. I was off that night, and so I only caught the very tail end of it. And yeah, it was heated. If you want to hear the full argument, it was the day before the election, 2012, in November. So yeah, you can check that out. And then this next clip actually comes from that same episode, and it basically proves that Jeffrey will do almost anything for a buck.
Well, we're glad you didn't make it fly, because then we wouldn't have you, Fishy, and we're about to give you some sunshine. We're about to give you some joy. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we're going to make it happy.
Oh, I tell you what. You know what, Fish, you want to talk about a bad evening? Let's just say you order some China food from the Chinese's, okay? And you've been waiting for an hour for it to get to your house, and the phone rings. You answer the phone, and this broad comes on the fucking blower, and she says, will you partake in a short survey, blah, 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 for food products, yada, 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 we'll send you $5. I'm like, $5? I ain't gonna say no to $5. It's a gallon of gas. 45 fucking minutes later, this bitch keeps asking me about Crisco, Pam, Jam, and all this other bullshit. And it's the same questions over and over. On a scale of 1 to 10, yes or no, blah, 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 what brand? Da, da, da. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, seriously? You didn't even pay me minimum wage.
She got a whole damn hour out of you. You should have known it wasn't going to be no 5 minutes.
Well, I didn't think it was going to fucking take 45. Like, my food was cold. I was so mad.
Ooh.
Fucking Jeff, I love you. So understand this is a bitter, angry guy talking to the guy that he loves. You could have hung up the damn phone.
But that would have been rude. And she was a nice lady.
And it wasn't rude that she was taking up 45 minutes of your time for $5. That is not
minimum
wage.
You know, I don't know how those people get those kind of jobs. And if, you know, maybe they have to make a certain quota that so many people have to take the fucking survey for them to keep their job.
Wow.
I felt bad. I was just trying to help out a fellow human, but fuck, man, my Chinese was cold.
Okay. You're a better man than I am tonight.
You know?
And I only got $5. If that check don't come in 3 weeks, you're all going to know about it.
Well, I guess he got the check, because we never heard about it again. I might have to ask him if he actually got it or not. But this is it, guys. We're at the end. This is the last clip right here. This one comes from the July 16th, 2012 show. I only know that because we just used this show a few weeks ago as a repeat, and something pretty funny happens in it. Jeffrey and Mike J get into a conversation. It's kind of a long clip, but Jeffrey and Mike J get into a conversation about relationship labels, what you would call your boyfriend or your partner or your husband or whatever. And this happens close to the end, and I hope you enjoy this clip.
You know, because that's what I am. But it's really funny, like, we're having this conversation, because, like, the people in our lives, like, it's really fun to see them introduce us to people. Like, Joe's mom is notorious for saying, this is Joe and his friend Jeffrey.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, even...
Who says that? His friend? Who says that?
His mom.
Oh, my gosh.
But you have to think, though, too, like, they're from kind of a small town,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, where they're true rednecks. Like, and I'm really okay with her saying that. I'd actually prefer it.
Because
I don't need to draw no attention to it. And I really hate the fact that, like, why? Can't you just be like, this is my son Joe and this is Jeffrey? Like, why do you even have to label me?
Like, right, I was going to say, like, why does she have to say anything? Why can't she just say, this is Jeffrey and Joe? Why do you have to?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel I still feel like it's taboo in society. And you don't know how somebody's going to react. So I'm not really I'm not going to deny it if they ask. But I don't feel that I need to broadcast it. Now, what's funny is now when somebody introduces me as his friend, like, I kind of always cringe because I hate the way that sounds too. Like,
right.
Just don't say anything. Just introduce me as Jeffrey.
Right.
Yeah,
my thought is, it's kind of weird, like, his friend. Like, I would how would you feel if she says, this is Joe and his partner, Jeffrey? How would you feel about that?
Well, here's the thing. Now, that's what my aunt does. She will be like, we went to this diner, and it's like, you know, it's a diner. We're not talking a restaurant. It's a fucking diner. And she's like, oh, this is my nephew, Jeffrey, and his fiancée, Joe. And, like, Joe kind of, like, glanced at me real quick, and I glanced at Joe, and I wanted to crawl under the table and die. Because these are, like, not, like, young people. They're older. They look like Republicans. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, you know, I was more uncomfortable with that than I was, this is Joe's friend, Jeffrey.
Wow. Yeah. That's funny.
Like, people,
like, it just depends who we're around. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, if it's older folks, like, if it's people in their, like, 60s and 70s, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, odds are, I just don't want I don't want to deal with the conversation. Or, you know, it's somebody that doesn't know and they're fine with it, but they have a million and ten questions.
Right.
Like, bitch, my name is not Mother Love, and we are not doing this show today.
Right. See, that's what I don't like. Like, it's almost like if you introduce yourself that way, all of a sudden, like, really? Wow. Like, you guys are gay? And it just, you know, that's like what I always hate when I have to, you know, quote unquote, come out to someone for the first time. Because then it's just like a whole world of explanation. Like, really?
I'm telling you, unless they're idiots, they know.
Right.
Most of the people I know are idiots, all right? That's all.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. Like, your fucking boss is a moron. Like, he is a fucking absolute moron.
I think he's a perfectly swell guy, and he's great, and if he happens to be Jeffrey,
I'm sorry. That is my opinion alone and not the opinion of anybody else here on Unscripted Radio, Michael Cummings, or Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, you're a moron. Sorry.
It's true. If you're listening, you're a moron because you didn't know he was gay. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm not saying you're a bad boss.
It's so crazy to me that you guys still have to have the talk. Like, I don't understand how it's so, like, I think it's maybe because I live in L.A., and it's a very common thing to find out someone's gay. There's not going to be a conversation. You're like, oh, okay, they're gay, okay. And you kind of keep it moving. It's no big deal. It's like, that's what blows my mind that, you know, obviously in Auburn or in Rhode Island, you would have to be possibly plagued with the thought that you're going to have a conversation about it.
Here's the thing, though. It's kind of judgmental on our part. Because the thing is, it may not be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. But, like, sure. I just know there's so many fucking religious idiots in this town.
Right.
You know, and it's not even with the younger people. It honestly, truly is like people like 50 and above that I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this.
Right.
I just don't. Or like my father telling all his macho kind of redneck friends, yeah, he's gay, he takes it up the ass with Joe. You know, hey.
Are you serious? What are you doing? Oh my god, that is.
Oh yeah, like Vito like went from like, oh, you fucking fag, to like, he's like, yeah, that's my son, and he does the drag, you know, he dresses up in the women's clothes, and he gets on the stage, and he does this little dance number, and he wears the heels and everything, does the makeup and the wig, you should see him, he looks just like my cousin Karen.
You know what's funny, though? It sounds like he sounds very proud of you. Like, that's, like, kind of a, like, I feel kind of warm and fuzzy inside, you know?
Yeah, but it's
there's
one of those things where I just want to crawl under a fucking rock and die. Like, I don't want these people to know.
Right. Well, it's like me. My mom does that to me. Like, I remember, like, I can't go anywhere. I can't. I mean, it's been how many years? And, I mean, literally, I'll go to visit her. She lives in Odessa, which is a small town outside of Dallas, probably like 5-6 hours outside of Dallas. I can't go anywhere. And she's like, yes, this is my daughter, Ashley. She calls me Ashley. This is my daughter, Ashley, the Power Ranger.
Okay.
And then has a photo album of, like, every single picture, event, I'm, like, mortified. Like, I'm just like, Mom, are you serious right now? Like, I have no makeup on, and we're at the Safeway, and you want to tell people who I am? Like, are you serious right now? Like, it just, it makes me crazy. And it's not that I'm not proud of that, or I'm not proud of my accomplishment. It's just, I'm like, I'm at the Safeway with no makeup, and it's a Tuesday. Do we really have to talk about this? Because then, you know, the next thing that happens is they're like, oh, can you, my son is having a birthday party. Can you come over with the suit? I don't even know
this person.
Yes, now all of a sudden I'm a clown, and I'm a birthday party. I'm just saying.
You could probably make sick money by fucking doing that. Have you ever even thought about it?
No, hell no, because I tell people right now, I'm not a clown. I'm not showing up in the suit. And I'm not going to a kid's birthday party that I don't know.
That's it, everybody. On behalf of all of us here at Uncensored Radio, I want to say a huge thank you to all of you listeners, fans, new and old. Thank you so much for tuning in every Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Pacific, and Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific for Jake Pentland's show. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. We love you, and tune in tomorrow for Jake Pentland. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
I think you're knowing what we're talking about. We got your corners once you're laying them down. Won't keep you waiting, watch your clock turn to 9. 8, 7, 6, 5, depending on your time zone. Won't keep you waiting, cause we're ready to go. We're never stopping, cause we're taking control. No hesitating, baby, lift up the show. Everybody knows it's Uncensored Radio. We saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio. You know the host are waiting on the line. Don't be afraid to say what's on your mind. If it's getting fishy, Cat is on the scene. With Karen and Jeff, these bitches are supreme. Won't keep you waiting, cause we're ready to go. We're never stopping, cause we're taking control. No hesitating, baby, let's start the show. You know, it's Uncensored Radio. We're saying what we want. Give it to you non-stop.